what's it like leaving the house for just like 8 to 10 hours and like, you know, running an errand,
doing your work and not being interrupted. My husband's like, I mean, I like deal with crazy people at work. I'm like, I deal with crazy people at work too. They're knocking down my door during nap time. Like,
they're completely unreasonable.
They're unhinged. You can't get anything done.
They're making me wipe their cracks while I'm trying to record a video. They tell me they just pooped and they need some help.
Do your employees do that to you? I don't think so. Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Brittany, welcome to Bestie Business Banter. We're so glad you're here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This is so fun.
Okay, so we like to kind of start off so that our listeners can know who you are by just having you kind of share your 15-second elevator pitch. So when you're in an elevator and someone's like, what do you do for a living? What would you say?
Usually I don't have a really good explanation because they don't really care that much. But since I'm on a podcast, I serve fourth and fifth grade math teachers. I provide professional development for them and hands-on resources for their students. And I do all of that through an online membership.
I love it.
So succinct.
I was going to say, normally in an elevator, I'm like the Netflix of math for math teachers.
They're like, what does that mean?
Exactly.
And okay, so this is one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the podcast, because when Lauren and I started this and we wanted to hear people's stories, we knew we could have on like a million different educational entrepreneurs because that's our sphere and that's like our community. But we wanted to be really selective with who we invited on. We wanted it to be a variety of entrepreneurs. And so we were like, if we're going to bring in other education people, we want them to really offer something different so that people who aren't in the education world aren't listening. They're like, we've heard the same person talk about online digital resources 50 times. And that's one thing I've loved about you is that you have charted this path differently from most teacherpreneurs, if you will, by really focusing on your membership and not just like your TPT store as your foundation. Like, I think a lot of people just start with TPT and then they kind of branch off. And it's been really cool to watch you do it differently. And I've always said I'd never got the membership model of like everyone just putting their entire TPT store in a membership and then like calling it a membership. I just didn't get it.
Right.
Like, resource-based. Yeah. And then being in the mastermind with you and hearing about yours being video-based and like service-based and this professional development, I was like, this is genius. And you are actually the reason I told Lauren, I was like, because Lauren had been talking about doing membership for a while and playing around with ideas. I was like, you need to do your video, your professional development for counselors. Cause I just thought it was such a good idea.
And I heard about you, Brittany, through Rebecca, through the mastermind that y'all were in together. And no, I had actually said, I will never do a membership for that reason of, I don't want to just like keep putting products in. Creating products is actually like not my favorite thing to do. So
me
I was
too.
Like, to be stuck somewhere where that's what like the hamster wheel I'm chasing. I was like, I am not doing that. And then my husband was like, well, you get so much life from teaching people. I had done like live workshops, webinars, that kind of stuff. And I loved it. He was like, why don't you do that? Like your people are showing up for that kind of stuff and you enjoy doing it. And then also then like to hear about you doing it too. I'm like, it's something that works. So people need it and want it. And I can't wait to hear more about that from you.
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like I went from teaching students to teaching teachers. Like I really just feel like I'm a teacher of teachers. And I think the membership was really born from a place of like, I did TPT for like 3 months and I was like, I hate creating resources. Like I dread it. I just don't think that is where I'm gifted. And so it had been something that had been in my mind really for like several years, I would say, because I kind of stepped away. Like I started TPT for a few months and then stepped away. And when I don't know what caused me to just jump and do it, but it's been like the absolute best thing. And it's so much more fulfilling to me than creating resources, but I know everybody's different.
Right. But it's so cool to find that that worked for you and for your audience. Like, obviously they wanted it and it's something that is working for you because you have a successful business.
Which we will get into, because that's another thing is like, you did step into a saturated market, and that's why it's so fascinating, because you offered something so different. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Lauren and I have had the benefit of, when we started, we were still in the early phases of the secondary market is just still not that saturated. And so that's where I'm just like, you've done a great job, but we will get more into business stuff. We like to start with the bestie stuff. Just so all that right,
fun.
Our listener, you know, like some of the listeners, you know, they may not be here for the business stuff, but we get in with the bestie and then they stay for the business. So that's where we're going to start. So first, we would love to know, what's something that's saving your life right now? And Lauren, you can go first if you want to give an example, or I can go first. You made that face. Wow.
Yeah, because I didn't think we were talking about what's saving your life right now. But
Lauren, I eliminated all the other things.
And I highlighted the ones that we were going to do, I thought.
Well, you kept saying that, and I was like, okay, well, let me just say, I need to share a lifesaver. I have three lifesavers.
She's got a really big something that's saving her life that she needs to tell us about.
So, Lauren, you don't have to share anything you don't want to. Sorry to put you on the spot. So,
this is a challenge by choice. If you would like to participate in any of these, you can.
Okay, I have three, and I just have to get these off my chest. So, we are in the middle of moving, and two cleaning products that are saving my life right now, which I'm a very like neat and tidy person, but I would not say I'm like clean. Like, I'm not OCD scrubbing my tile grout like in my shower or anything, you know. But now that we're moving and like we have listing appointments and stuff, I'm like, I gotta keep this thing clean. Zep. Have y'all ever heard of Zep?
No. I have not.
Never.
Okay. Well, so we started like patching holes and painting things, and then we realized that the paint on your wall fades. So even if you have the literal exact same paint that you're putting to patch holes, you can tell where you've painted it. And so we were repainting things, then we were like, bump it, we're not doing this. And so we're like, we'll just have to magic eraser a bunch of these walls. We know where your kids have like taken colored pencils up the wall and things like that.
Oh yeah.
And but I cannot do the magic eraser sound. Like even talking about
it. I know what you mean.
Ooh, yes. Like gives me a shiver down my spine. And so one of my girlfriends is like, you need to find Zep. They have a bunch of cleaning products, but I'll link in my Amazon thing. It's like this spray foam for your wall, and it's supposed to be better than the magic eraser because it doesn't take the paint off. It just takes off what's on it. And I cannot tell you, I spent like 30 minutes before this podcast interview, like zepping my walls.
Zepping. It's a verb.
Yes. Yeah. I'm making it a verb. I was zepping. It's so satisfying to see, like, I have all these built-ins in my office that my kids have like colored, and they colored off the line. So it's like all over it, and it's just all gone. It looks like
that's awesome.
It's so nice. So Zep. And then the other thing is, have y'all ever heard of the Barkeeper's Friend line of
clean
products?
No.
Yeah. It cleans like your porcelain, like your sink.
Well,
or
they have all
everything.
Sorts of things. Okay. But yes, the one for your white, like farmhouse Joanna Gaines sink, which I'm like, I love it, but I feel like it looks like it gets scratched a lot. But this Barkeeper's Friend, it like makes it look brand new. So I'm obsessed with that. That's my other cleaning thing. And then the third thing is Amazon promotional credits are saving my life right now, because I love doing delayed ship. It's like, do you want to delay your shipping and get $2 in digital credit? I'm like, 100%. And I've been buying so many books on Kindle for free with my Amazon promotional credit. It's been so fun.
Oh,
I literally just
smart.
I literally just got a trilogy again before we got on. I was like, oh, I need to like add some more books to my Kindle. And I had like $16 in promotional credit, because like, I don't need things in 24 hours. I can wait 5 days. I don't care. So saving my life.
I'll piggyback off of you, because I just recently, for the first time, did the Amazon promotional credit. So I only got a Kindle a couple of months ago, and I really had only had to buy one book. I could get all my other books from the library onto my Kindle. And I guess I like had heard of the promotional credit, didn't have any reason to do it, started doing it recently, still didn't really know how it worked. And then when I went to go buy a book, because I couldn't find it anywhere, it was like $0. I was like, oh, those couple of times, it really did not take me maybe but three times to get the $6.25 or $5.25 I needed for the book. And I was like, this is awesome. And I don't even feel like you have to delay it 5 days. It's like,
it's not. Sometimes it's like delayed 2 days. And I'm like,
yeah,
sure, I'm fine with that. So.
Yeah.
So can you just use them on books, or you can use the promotional credits on like,
it's for like digital items. So I guess that could be like, I don't know what, like an audio book maybe, or music, or maybe I bet you could use it for like a movie or something on Prime Video.
Yeah, I think you could do that too. Weird.
I only like reading my, if I'm reading a book digitally, I only like reading it in Apple Books. I have no idea why.
Wait, what is that? Like on your phone?
Yes. It started so weird during post, like when I had the baby, Micah, and I was, you know, in a rocking chair, breastfeeding constantly. So I was just like reading from my phone. And right. Now like I only will buy Apple Books. And if Apple Books doesn't have it, then I'll buy like the paper copy. So I don't even own the Kindle app or have a Kindle.
Kindle can switch to your phone though too. So if you like liked the Kindle, you can do it to your phone and then it'll sync up to your Kindle the next time you open it.
Which okay. Life hack of this century. I did not do this with our first, but I did it for our second and third. Reading when you're feeding the baby. Mm-hmm. In the middle, it makes it so much less miserable in the middle of the night because at least you're reading. I used to just keep my Kindle in the rocker in the nursery.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love reading and really feel like I got out of it because, you know, in college I was like, well, if I have time to read, like I should be doing, you know, schoolwork. And then teaching, it was like, well, if I have time to read, I should be planning lessons. And then business, I'm like, well, I should be doing business stuff. And so that was like the best thing to come out of like the postpartum season was falling in love with reading again.
Which we're going to talk to you about that because you had a really crazy, I feel like, postpartum experience with your second. So that's going to be part of our questions later. Do you have anything that's saving your life right now?
Oh my goodness. This is such a hard question for me. I realized when I was looking through all of like the bestie banter questions, I was like, I have a terrible memory.
Yeah. You're like, I don't know what's saving my life currently today.
Exactly. So I'm going to say I've finally like jumped back into like the prepackaged meals. There's this company, it's called Long Life Meals. I think they deliver, but eating the same thing every day and then having prepackaged meals is like the only way I get through my day. That's not me just like eating Goldfish and Cheez-Its and like beef jerky sticks or whatever I'm making for the kids. So like the prepackaged meals, that has been like a lifesaver right now.
Do you have like an affiliate friend share code? Because we can put it in the show notes.
I'll see. I don't think I do, but you'll have to like just check it out. They're healthy and they come like in a little tray or whatever, and they're clean and you just put them in the microwave for 3 minutes and then you have a healthy, delicious meal.
That's awesome. Do you do like batch cooking for your lunches and eat the same thing every day?
I do for breakfast. I make the same exact breakfast and I just actually made it tonight and I'll eat it all week. And
what are you healthy. Making?
So it's called sweet potato hash. It's sweet potatoes, turkey bacon, and eggs with there's like some spice to it. It's got like chili powder and cayenne pepper and some sea salt. And I love it.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. I think I've been eating the same breakfast for like, I don't know, 6 months now. Like on weekends, I'll like switch it up. But during the week, I'm like, it's something that I can just like pop in the microwave before. And I just eat it as I'm driving the boys to school. Well, the older one to school.
You sound like me. I like if I was driving to pick my kids up, it was 12:45 or something the other day, or close to one. I was like, why am I so hungry? I didn't eat lunch. Like I know people like make fun of the people who forget to eat, but like I forget to eat sometimes. I'm like, I think that might be like a qualifier for ADHD. Never looked into being diagnosed, but I get in the zone and I was like, my stomach is hung. I never ate. Like it happens to me all the time.
That was me. Like after I would be so like in work mode and then 3 o'clock would hit and I'm ravenous. And I'm literally like, I will eat anything in this entire house because I didn't eat lunch. And I'm like, right. Let me just have a prepackaged meal, eat it. And then I can just, you know, be on my way.
Seriously. I had a lot of health issues postpartum this last go around. And I was meeting with like a functional nurse practitioner after I'd done stuff with my primary care, my GI doc, like everybody. So I finally moved on to functional med. She was asking me all these questions. She was like, so like, what do you normally have for breakfast and about what time do you eat it? And I was like, I always have coffee, 100%. I was like, and then I try to remember, but with like the craziness of getting the kids out of school or out of the door. And then once you get them dropped off, then you're like racing home. I'm racing to throw the baby down for a nap so then I can get to my computer. And I'd forget. And then, so she was like, you need, even if it's just a protein shake, I want you to do that within 30 minutes of waking up. Because once you get your metabolism and everything going, you won't be as forgetful. And at least you're like starting your day with something. I think I always thought like protein shake was like, I don't know, not like lame, but like, I don't know, like an artificial start. And I should start with like real food. And she's like, but you're not starting with anything. So let's just.
Let's start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we will graduate to eating more real food. And then the other thing she said too was like, She was saying how you can get like indigestion from not eating slow enough. She was like, you really need to chew every bite like 20 to 30 times. I about spit out my water when she said that.
20 to 30? I just shoot it down the gullet and hope that it gets into my stomach.
Right. As your resident anatomy teacher, it is true that like as you're chewing, your enzymes and your neurotransmitters like in your mouth are telling your body to produce your stomach acid that's going to help digest your food. So she's right in saying like you need to chew so that your body knows to make it while you're eating. But I was thinking about it, even at dinner tonight, I'm the last one to sit down and the first one to get up. That's right. How fast I eat.
You're a mom, like, so that's how right. It goes.
Like everyone gets their stuff, then I sit down, I inhale it, and then I start doing the dishes while everyone else is still finishing. And I was like, LOL, like I am so bad at the two things she told me to do. Whoops. So I really applaud you for the prepackaged meals.
I literally, next time I eat something, I'm going to count the number of times that I chew because I cannot even like wrap my brain around chewing 30 times. I feel like it would take me an hour and a half to eat a bowl of cereal.
That's like when you get a toothbrush that times you for brushing your teeth for 2 minutes. The first like,
it's so long.
It's still, I mean, I have gotten it recently and I'm like,
I quit before the 2 minute mark a lot. I'm like,
I do too.
Thomas got me one for my birthday, my first like electric toothbrush. And it really does like make your teeth feel great. But I mean, I'm like, golly.
I'm like, I got stuff to do. I can't brush my teeth here right. For 2 whole minutes.
Honestly. Oh man. Okay.
Do you want to move into unpopular opinions?
Yes. Okay. So Brittany, unpopular opinion is literally anything that you think that you feel like is probably contrary to the majority. And we love to do these because these are make really fun polls on Instagram. Like, okay, do you agree with us or not? And most people disagree with me.
They always agree with me. Or Rebecca like brings up something that she thinks everyone would agree with her on. And it's like, well, no.
Not necessarily. I just think it's rational and people like roast me. So I'm usually in the outs here, but Lauren has one that she would like to share.
Okay. It's an unpopular opinion, but it's really because I just like don't understand. And I always have to like preface it with like, because I don't, you know, I might not know where our guest stands on it. So, you know, if it's you, I apologize. If it's the listener, you'll have to like come and let me know. Okay. I don't understand the big deal with eyebrow lamentation. Like what I have thick eyebrows.
It's lamination.
Lamination, not lamentation.
Lamentation. A lot of mourning over the eyebrows. What you're thinking.
Lamination, where they like stand up. I don't know. Like I've always had, right. I'm wondering if it's for, maybe I just need to be educated. I'm wondering if it's like for thinner eyebrows who like want to be thicker and fuller. That's never been my problem. So I'm not sure. Or if it's like just a style that's been around lately. I don't know. Have you ever had your eyebrows laminated, Brittany?
Oh my gosh, no. I am like the, when you think of like the person who's like trendy and like into all the beauty stuff, like I am the furthest away from that.
Okay. But you know what I'm talking about though, right?
I did. You called it lamentation. Yeah. I was like, okay, I think I know what she's saying.
I don't know why I said that.
Well, and okay. I think you're right. I think it started, like, I think the idea would be for people who don't have thick eyebrows. Probably like someone like me. I don't have a lot of natural eyebrows.
It's like,
hair.
Give them some, but, like, fluff them up.
But yeah, I think a lot of people who have, like, good eyebrows already are doing it. And then they're really just, like, articulating every hair.
Yeah. If mine just, like, had that, if I brush them from one side to the other, I can do eyebrow lamination for free at my house, but I'm sure it costs a lot of money too.
Well, because I think it like sticks them.
Right. They're like permanently like that for a little bit at least.
I don't know.
We didn't really bring that much data or knowledge to the table around this one. It's just something I've noticed that I don't really understand why it's a trend. So there we go.
Yeah, I saw Amy Porterfield got it done and it was like traumatizing to her. I think she got it done like right before she went on stage to speak and it was like really, really bad. And so ever since seeing that, I was like, nope, not doing that or microblading or like anything that feels semi-permanent.
Well, and the microblading makes more sense for people who like are like blonde. Like I totally get why you'd get microbladed because then it makes you, you know, you don't have to like pencil in your brows every day. But I do always laugh at people who are like, I just got a microblade and the day one is like, so crazy. And yes. They like kind of wear off. But those are always so funny. I appreciate the people who just own it though. They're like, I look crazy today, but it'll lighten up.
But that would be so scary to do. Your eyebrows can really change your whole face. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Like if they disappear
we remember from 2004. how well, much no, your eyebrows matter.
Mine have been thick the whole time. So I've been the thick eyebrows when it wasn't cool, and I've been thick eyebrows when it has been. I've just been me. So it's worked in my favor sometimes. And then sometimes it's like, oh, you have like the thickest eyebrows, but I've never done lamination.
You're on trend now.
Lamentation. Yeah, now I am.
I'm always going to think lamentation now. Eyebrow lamentation.
Sorry. Yes. That was great.
Brittany, do you have an unpopular opinion?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I was like thinking about this and I'm like, I can't think of like any of my opinions. So, but the one thing, I only know this because I was arguing with one of my husband's friends like Friday when they came over is I, and this is like maybe getting a little deep, but an unpopular opinion that I have is that like the roles in marriage of like the woman is always the one who like cooks and cleans and does laundry and like does all of that. That is like an opinion that I just like do not agree with. I think like we are partners, we jump in, we do things together. The number of times that Abe cooks dinner is quite often. I haven't folded laundry in quite a while. Now, granted, part of that's because of our nanny and the other part's him, but that was like just something early on. I was like, okay, I can't beat myself up for not being the wife or mom that he loves cleaning. So like all the things you recommended, I was like, oh,
Abe's gonna jot those down for him.
I was like, I will not use them, but he would love them.
Totally. We really split everything 50-50, probably until COVID. And then I was kind of going a little bit crazy being home all the time with the kids during COVID when like preschool was out and my husband was still working out of the home. And so that's when I really took over more of the household things because I wanted like a break. Like he would get home and I'd be like, go play outside with the kids. I'll cook dinner and clean it up. But our kind of like MO is when he gets home, like everyone's on full time and we all work until it's all done. So like if you're putting the kids to bed and I'm doing the dishes, if you come down and I'm not done, like you hop in, you know, like and then we all rest at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of our lifeline. I probably still do most of Thomas probably does half the cooking. I still do most of the cleaning, but like, Thomas does the toilets. I'm like, you, as someone who has a lactose intolerance and doesn't take it seriously, it's your job to clean these toilets, okay?
Gross.
It is gross. And I send him memes all the time. Apparently it's like it's a large population of people that have a lactose intolerance but don't take it seriously. And then they're just like sick all the time,
oh gosh.
Elder Tom. Yeah. It's disgusting. Okay.
I had a really hard time with that, though. When we got married, I was like, I'm supposed to be doing all the cooking, all the cleaning, all of that. And I'm like, I just don't have the energizer that he does. Like he is go, go, go all of the time. And I'm like, I need to like take a power nap before I can do something.
And I feel like there's nothing like feeling those like almost cultural constraints. And then like, then that makes you feel inadequate at whatever role is. I'm like, I often feel inadequate as a mom, as I'm sure most people do in different settings or seasons. And I keep saying, like, I feel like I'm going to be thriving more when my kids are teenagers versus like all the physical stuff of having little kids right now versus I think I'm going to do better in their emotional baggage when they're teenagers and like worrying and that kind of stuff. But I'm like, to lay on top of that, oh, you are the only person in your house who can do these things. And if you're not, then you're a failure. I'm like, no, I do not have time for that. Like we are partners and we do it together. And like, I remember my grandmother before she passed away being like, it's so cool to see like Curtis being such a hands-on dad. Like I know that my grandpa was too, but like, I think that just has changed culturally that like dads are involved. Like if you're like, this is hard. I'm not doing this by myself. Like we're doing it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially with so many women now too, working from home. And like, I mean, you know, I think I definitely see it differently if one of the parents is a full-time stay-at-home parent either way. Like, I feel like they would obviously naturally take on more of the responsibilities. But like when you're both doing stuff, it's like, we got to divvy this up.
Yeah, you got to figure out how to make it all happen. And that's both people probably doing things.
For sure.
Okay, so my unpopular opinion, which I am very aware is very unpopular because everyone comments on it. And I'm piggybacking on something Lauren and I talked about in our last interview when we talked about like extra superfluous pillows on beds. But speaking of beds, this is something that has changed since I got married to my husband. When we got married, we've always had like a king bedspread, and I slept with the king bedspread, he would like slide it over and sleep with his own twin blanket. And that's just how he always slept. But then I started like taking naps like on top of the king bed with his blanket, and it was so nice. And it was the perfect ratio of blanket to my body. And so now Thomas and I think it's a very Scandinavian thing. That's what I've heard.
But it is.
It is. It's like you would see it maybe where you see IKEA. But we both sleep with our own twin comforter. And it's not pretty. Like our bed does not look pretty because it's like we each have a twin comforter like folded over. And then sometimes I'll put a blanket along the end to try to make it look a little nicer. But it is amazing for like temperature control in your bed because you're not like sliding over blanket at all.
Do you share a flat sheet?
We have one fitted sheet and then we each have a comforter. There's no flat sheet. No top sheet.
I feel like maybe it was Naptime Kitchen posted about this or Carpool. Somebody posted about the lack of the flat sheet and the comments went wild as I was at the top of the comments going wild. Like to not have a flat sheet. I mean, I get that it's like, it gets tangled up, it comes out of your bed, but it's like a sanitary thing. Like, so are you washing your cover, yes, all the time? Okay. Some people are not. They're like, they've got the big duvet cover and no flat sheet. And I'm like, okay,
and I think if you had duvet covers, that's different. Duvet covers are literally the worst, but we each have a literal just twin comforter. Thomas, like I only wash his like every other week because he would not even notice if I never washed it.
Right.
I do mine and I do our fitted sheet every single week, every Friday. But it's a twin, so it's a lot easier too. And then again, there's no duvet. It's just like I throw the whole thing in there.
Yeah.
It's working for you.
I can get down with that. We have a shared flat sheet and then he has his own, I'm pretty sure it's like a king comforter. And then I have like my king size blanket and then like my twin weighted blanket on top of that. So we're just a hot mess.
You got so many blankets. I just felt like there was always be, because Thomas would always be like pushing the extra king stuff on me because he had his own. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like drowning in blanket. I was like, this is, and then, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, you want to like kick your leg out. Just get a little air in, you know, you get overheated, you get a bad dream. So you're sweating. So you got to get your thigh out just to let it air out. Like I'd have the king blanket, like couldn't get my leg out. But now tangled, I'm a twin. Cocooned. If I get hot, I could stick an ankle out and I'm fine.
And
just
you're all better.
Oh my gosh. Drowning in blanket is like
your favorite thing.
Heaven. Oh my gosh. Yes. He makes fun of me because of the number of blankets.
What do you keep your temperature at your house?
69. Mm. I don't know. Is that cold? It's cold to me. I'm always cold.
Yeah.
I go to bed at 69.
We keep ours at 73 during the day because my husband is okay,
during
so
the day.
Cheap. During the day.
Still, the way that we just responded the same.
70 at night.
The way that we both responded the same to you would hopefully let you know that that would be an unpopular opinion. I do like asking people that. We asked a group of people that one time as like, I mean, it was just a question that came up, and hearing people's opinions on what they keep it during the day and what they go to bed at night is very telling about a person.
So what do you do at night?
When we were first, we 70 at night now, but when we were first married and on Dave Ramsey's serious budget, we kept it on 76 during the day and 74 at night. I had to like fight Thomas to be 74 because here's the best thing about doing 73 day, 70 at night. I like bump it down right before bed. So then it's like Arctic blast, like right when I get in bed, because trying to get
in the mid 70s, Arctic blast.
So nice. No, it's that air. No, it's cold air, girl. I'm trying to bring it down. It's great. Also, when it's like 98 degrees outside, 73 hits. It's not bad.
Here's my problem. No matter how hot it is, I have to have blankets on me. There's something about like the weight and the comfort. Mm-hmm. So, like, cozy. Yep. Even when we had like our air conditioning go out like a few summers ago. And everybody was dying and I still had a blanket on me. I was like, I can't sleep. So yeah, we can't do 74. No. Oh, I'd die.
Same. I'm 71 during the day, 69.
You're
at night.
Always wearing a sweatshirt.
And I'm always cold. You I don't are. Know why. It's,
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. All right.
Lauren, well, we thought one? Our next segment, we haven't done in a while because it's usually we're the only digital kind of space people. But since you have an online business, is there anything that has made you feel like Steve Jobs lately? So it could be like something techie that you never imagined yourself doing in your online business, setting up, and then you feel like, oh my gosh, I just like coded a whole MySpace page, and that's how I now here I am for my business.
Give her an example because you have one. Okay. You text me multiple times this week saying you're Steve Jobs.
Oh my gosh. I feel like Steve Jobs is my alter ego right now this week. Mm-hmm. I just launched an audio course, so a private podcast. And I mean, I spent a day doing all the behind the scenes tech stuff. So as soon as somebody checks out, they are immediately, you know, an email sequence starts coming to them. They get a separate email from the private podcasting company that like shows them how to click into it. And all of that is automated, which I'm always like, wow, to be one of my customers would be awesome. Like what yes. a great customer experience. And I'm like, man, I set that up. Like, I just feel like it is so seamless and I was really proud of myself. And, you know, Zapier is really the thing behind the scenes. It's the program that's like carrying a lot of that weight. But you feel like you're like testing things. I'm using coupons to like check out and make sure everything goes okay. And that's just on top of already like recording the podcast and, I don't know, setting up how they're going to access all the extra materials. And I just feel like Steve Jobs this week. I mean, of all, probably in the last 5 months, I'm at my Steve Jobs prime right now.
You are. And you've also been working all weekend, and you keep texting me all your updates and I'm like disgusted because you're texting me and I'm like just being like an absolute slob like all weekend long. And you're telling me
you're like zapping things.
She's zapping and I'm zapping. And yeah. I don't want to be working on the weekends, but because I do mostly everything in my business, I am like working down to the final deadline and I'm like, okay, we're almost there. Like it went out to the wait list this morning and I was like, I mean, okay, now I can take a little breath. And then today I was writing more emails. So we're catching up.
Sarah, that's the title of this podcast. She's zapping, I'm zapping.
That's a great podcast title.
We'll be like, what are you talking about?
All right, Brittany, are you doing anything Steve Jobs-esque right now? Or have you hired out all your Steve Jobs tests?
Oh no, I always feel like Steve. Okay, but funny when you said like, how do you feel like Steve Jobs? Wasn't Steve Jobs the one who like wore the same outfit every day so he didn't have decision fatigue?
Probably.
Okay. He's genius.
that could make you, I have a uniform in the summer. I do too. So check that off the list. We're all Steve Jobs right now.
Exactly. I was going to say Athleta, maybe that should have been my unpopular opinion. I really think it is.
Okay, Sarah Whitaker called it Athleta, didn't she?
Which makes sense because of athlete, but I've always said Athleta also.
Me too, Athleta.
Yeah, I always say both because I don't want to be wrong. I'm like, you know, my Athleta or Athleta leggings.
However so, you say it.
We got to pull exactly. We got to pull that too. How do you pronounce that?
So that would be my Steve Jobs, but really, no, my techie thing. So we had a 2-day virtual event in April and I got this little tool. It's called a Stream Deck. And it's like, I don't even know, maybe like the size of your hand. And there are all these little buttons on it and you can like set up all these shortcuts. So literally I'm like doing my live stream and I'm like pushing a button and then it's like pulling up a countdown timer with music. And then I push a different button and it like switches to my top down camera and then like a different one. And it has like all these things. And it was like so cool. I've seen that before. Live stream pro.
Does it only work with Macs or only is it called StreamYard? Is that what it's called?
No. StreamYard is like the, I don't know.
When you want to like do a live and you want it to go on multiple platforms. That's what
Got it. Okay. But I've seen that little thing that you're talking about with the buttons on it. It's so cool.
It's amazing. I've known about it for years and have never bought it because I did not understand it. And then on a whim, I bought it and I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Okay. So how did you learn how to use it? Did they have like customer service or you're on YouTube setting things up or what?
Probably YouTube, but honestly, it was not hard. Like once you download it and there's like a little software that comes with it and it's pretty like seamless. Like I use Ecamm Live to stream.
Yeah.
Cause I am on a Mac, but I love it. And I just felt so like snazzy doing it.
Have you used it at other times other than that big video live stream?
Not really, because I haven't done much video since then, but I definitely will. So for my membership, it's obviously video based. And so I'm constantly switching between like forward facing and then the top down camera. And obviously I have an editor who will like chop pieces and put it together and all of that. But just for the simplicity of like switching scenes, I will for sure be using it. And I'll use it again for my webinar. And oh yeah, that was the other thing. I could like easily put up slides and then, you know, we'd let the slides like go off the screen and it be face to camera. Like I cannot wait to use it for my webinar this summer.
I love that idea of the top down camera. I don't know why I haven't thought of that because I've been working out a lot of chemistry is really quantitative. And so I have like a whiteboard where I'm like writing it out, but that's so smart just to do the talk. They don't need to see my face. They just need to see me writing it.
Oh yeah. It's awesome. I've got it. I wish I could show y'all like my video setup right now, but I've got like a camera right in front of me. And then I've got a camera like right above me.
And yeah, you have a good
video recording setup. Studio.
I know,
yeah.
She does. Cause that's like her whole business though, which we'll get into.
For sure. Lauren,
you have questions that need answers.
Okay. I've been collecting a list of just like things that I've thought of, whether it's, you know, stuff from our childhood that I'm like, why aren't we talking about this more? I was like, is Brittany going to think some of these things are weird? So this is one, a friend and I brought this up recently because at my daughter's preschool, this last week of school, one of their fun events was that a clown was coming to school, and she's 5 and she's never seen a clown. And it got us thinking, like, what happened to clowns? Like, is it a dying occupation? Like my mom dressed me up as a clown in, you know, as a preschooler for Halloween. Like
that picture is terrifying, by the way, which we need to find. Seen it? I swear you have shown me this before. And I remember being like, why would your mother do that? Like, why weren't you
a puppy or something cute? But I think it was more common. I would be curious how many listeners, when they were little, were a clown for something, for dressing up. Or, you know, you went to more circuses. Like, what are the clowns doing now? Did people go to like training to like paint their face and like learn how to be goofy? Or like you went to birthday parties when you were little and there was a clown there. No one has clowns anymore. Did the rise of horror films decline the desire to bring clowns into public spaces or party spaces? It's just a question that needs answered.
That's fascinating because I really have never thought about that. And I'm exactly. Like, oh yeah, clowns aren't around anymore.
Exactly. Right. And another thing that's not around anymore, which we're also like, how did this come to be, is the Got Milk campaign. Like, do you remember growing up, Brittany, and like, it was Got Milk everywhere. Like you went to the book fair and you could get like a Got Milk poster of Serena
celebrity.
And Venus Williams drinking milk, playing tennis. And you're like, I got to drink milk. Like I literally drank milk every night at dinner because like, I was told by media how important milk is. And now I've got a husband who became lactose intolerant at age 30. So I'm like, what's going on? Like, were we not as lactose intolerant? Like, who decided? Was it the FDA that was like, let's get people on milk? Or
they must have been putting billions of dollars behind right. this. This is like right. big pharma of milk. Like, they're pushing milk. And I'm wondering, like, now I don't drink milk ever. You know, I get my dairy. I eat cheese. I eat yogurt. Like, you don't need to be concerned for me. But I went to the doctor for a physical, a couple years ago. And they were like, how many glasses of milk do you drink a day? I said, what? I can't tell you the last time I had it. I mean, years since I've had a glass of milk. I'm not a cookies and milk person. So I don't drink milk all the time. But I thought it was such a weird question that we're still asking. Because I said, the Got Milk campaign ended a few years ago.
Okay, so that's really funny because now there's all this controversy about whether milk is even good for you.
Right.
And so my kids have never had a glass of milk. Like, they had breast milk. And then when I stopped breastfeeding, like, they have never had milk. And every time I've taken them to the pediatrician, they're like, oh, do they drink like, you know, like, what do they usually drink? I'm like, they just drink water and maybe sweet tea every once in a while. Not once has my pediatrician been like, you don't give them milk.
So I guess doctors aren't concerned about it.
Right. So like, who started it and what happened? And you know what? I'm hoping there's a documentary one day because I don't know if y'all have watched. Thomas and I love like sports documentaries and just movies about like that kind of stuff. And we just last night, so it's not a documentary, but it's like, you know, like a Hollywood movie, but it's with Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and it's all about the Nike campaign.
Yes. We
with
just
Michael
watched
Jordan.
That.
What was it called? Do you remember what it was
Air.
Called?
Air.
Air. Yeah.
Fascinating. I had no idea that Nike wasn't always like the basketball shoe. And
yeah,
it was just like
right.
and how they went, like the whole campaign to get Michael Jordan and how it like basically changed all of Nike and how he changed like so much with actually getting, it was just fascinating. And so that's where I'm like, okay, I have questions about this. Like, what's the origin story? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we don't have the answers, I guess, to both of these questions that need answers, but we're putting it out there to say we're thinking about it. And we're like rolling
and
around.
If you have
ideas,
answers. Come into my DMs and let me know. Maybe someone out there knows.
Anything you wanted to add that you've been chewing on, Brittany? This is a really random category that I wouldn't expect you to have something for, a question that needs answers, but you know, you get it.
Gosh, I don't know. Y'all, I am not creative. Like, give me some math questions or something. You know, I think I go through my life and I don't have the brain space to think about anything other than like keeping the kids alive and keeping the business alive. So I'm like, questions that need answers. I'm like, the most pressing thing is probably like, why does every single kid's school event have to happen in the last 2 weeks of school? Because I'm dying over here.
Yes. Honestly, right now we're recording, it's end of May. And I'm like, May is December. It's just hotter. Like we're getting all the same things. It's literally exhausting.
Every single kid was born in May or June because we've been to a birthday party every single weekend.
Every week.
Since like April 20th. I'm like, okay, can we not space out these kids' birthday parties across the year? Because I'm done. I'm done buying Target gift cards and I don't know, going to pony things or
I know. And we were talking to someone the other day who has like older kids and they were like, oh, we remember that where like every weekend was a birthday party. And I got excited that like one day that won't be it. Because as they get older, you know, they'll maybe just like go to the movies with a couple friends, you know, or something smaller. But for now, it really is. It's like, these are the social events. The 5-year-old's birthday party.
Yep. I was like, I don't have a social calendar. My social calendar is my children's. 5-year-old's. Yep. Exactly.
Truly. Okay. Well, this was riveting. Now we can ask you business questions that you know you're ready for. So maybe first, why don't you kind of give us like the origin story? When did Mix and Math start? That's your business, Mix and Math. I don't know if we said that at the top. And what led you to start it? What was the motivation? And kind of what was your what was your initial vision when you started it?
Yeah. So technically, Mix and Math was created like January of 2016. And I taught at a school that was like very creative. It was modeled partly after the Ron Clark Academy and Kipp Academy. And so we went down to the Ron Clark Academy and like some of the things they were doing, I was doing. And somebody who is down there had a TPT store. And somebody was like, she does really well on TPT. And my husband was like, you could totally do that. And so January.
It's always the husbands.
It is.
Every person that we've talked to, their husbands are like huge cheerleaders.
Yes. And so I like put a resource up on TPT and it sold within the first day. And I was like, what is this? Now, granted, it was like $1.97. It was like what I got. And so I did that for a few months and then was like, I want to go back and get my master's. So I completely stopped everything with TPT, went back, got my master's in that time frame, got pregnant, finished my master's, all of that. And so that was like kind of it for Mix and Math. It was just this thing I'd put up like maybe 10 resources and then didn't touch it again. And I think it was the summer of 2019. And I would say 2019 is really when I feel like I started the business because, you know, but everybody has a story of like, I started it, but I didn't really consider it a business. Mm-hmm. But yeah, summer of 2019, I had been like teaching teachers on Instagram and Stu McLaren had like his little training about a membership. And I just decided, I was like, I'm just going to see if people are interested. And so I gathered a wait list and launched it and 212 people joined this membership that I didn't even have created. Like I didn't even know what it was going to be. Like I was just like, I love talking about math. If you want to learn math from me, like please join and we're going to build this together. And that was literally the start of my business.
Okay. Like, so rewind, were you teaching all that time?
So
like that like, you were getting your master's classroom. Okay.
No. That was like, no, not while I was getting my master's. I would say pretty much all of 2019 leading up to that summer. So maybe a little bit in like the winter of 2018, but really like January 2019, I like really got into stories. And so I was like constantly teaching different math concepts to teachers and like building their understanding of the math concepts they're teaching through stories. And my Instagram platform like grew quite a bit. Now, granted, at that point, I think I was at like maybe like 7,000 followers. But yeah, that was kind of just all I did. There was no strategy behind it. I didn't do it with the intention of being like, okay, this summer I'm going to launch something. It was a very like weird, I'm a very planned out person. And so to like within 3 weeks be like, I'm going to start a membership and then actually do it. I still look back and I'm like, something was wrong with me, but I'm glad I did it.
Were you full-time in the classroom during all that time?
No. So after I had my oldest, so he was born fall of 2017, I stepped out and then was in the classroom part-time because I was still getting my master's. So I needed to be in the classroom. So I was kind of in like an interventionist slash math coach role, very part-time, mm-hmm. all the way up until, I guess, probably the end of 2018. So start of 2019, I was completely home full-time.
When you started the membership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And I had the baby home with me. I mean, he was a baby.
So what got you started doing the stories and like teaching teachers on your Instagram? Was it just like for fun? Were you getting questions and you were like, oh, I'll just like answer them? Like, how did you get started doing that?
I think I shared like one thing that I had done in the classroom. And what's funny is so much of what I do, and like, I'm very, very niche, even in fourth and fifth grade math. Like I focus on using math manipulatives. Mm-hmm. That's like kind of, I would say like what I'm known for. It came from like one series of stories that I did. And it was like so many questions. And I was like, oh, well, if I can share about this using math manipulatives with multiplying fractions, and I can share what I'm doing with, you know, multiplying whole numbers or like volume or things like that. And there were just so many questions. I had such good feedback and people were sharing things and all of that, that I was like, wow, like there's really a need for this. But no, there was no, like, I think I just did it once and there was such a great reaction to it that I was like, well, maybe I should keep doing this.
That's what they say, like building a membership or like looking at what your audience needs. What are they asking you questions about? Mm-hmm. It's like, obviously they need more help with this. And
right.
Cool that you can narrow down in such a, yes, it feels like a niche, but then there are all those different like subjects in math mm-hmm. that, okay, if it's working for this and they have questions about, like you said, one topic, they have the same questions about every single topic.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So when you like brought up the idea of a membership, were you like, saying, hey, do you want to like get, were you kind of saying, do you want PD? Do you want to just learn more ideas from me? How are you kind of pitching it to people just on your Instagram?
So I had a lot of mindset issues at that time around, like, will people even pay for professional development? So I think at that point I was talking about it as like, it will be a growing library. Like the things that I'm doing on Instagram, it will be like a library of those things, but for like all of the concepts, and you'll get these hands-on resources that go along with it. But yes, I was talking about it as like, if you want more of what you're seeing on Instagram, like join me in this, we'll build it together. Like it's going to change. Like people coming in knew that it was not this like put together thing.
So when you started it, how much was it a month?
So I did a lifetime membership and a monthly membership. So the lifetime membership was $119. And those people got a steal because they bought it initially and
right.
like, they get it for life. And it's evolved and changed so much. And then the other one was, I think I made them commit to 3 months up front. So I think they paid $36. And then it was $12 a month after that.
And you had 212 people.
Yes, I had 212 people. My email list was like, less than 5,000 at that point. And then now it is 24 a month, 240 for the year. And we will be increasing our prices this summer.
Okay. So what are you constantly having to add content? Are you at the point where there's like so much you don't need to, like, will you ever get to a point where you're not having to add to it? Or is it like, there's unlimited topics, there's unlimited things I could add?
I've never, because I know myself. And I've never committed to like, you were going to get something every month and this is what it is.
Good.
So we are still like adding some things, but it could be like, we don't add anything in 3 months. Like it is not they don't have the expectation that they're going to get something new every month. We are adding as we see fit or updating, or like if there's holes, like we still have some holes in the membership, because here's the other thing. So I started this summer of 2019. We did not have even a full normal school year, because think about what happened in the spring of 2020. Right. So it was like, I was trying to figure this out, and then COVID happens and everybody's freaking out and they all want digital stuff. And so then I start like learning how to create digital stuff, and really like what I'm teaching them to do isn't even relevant when you're teaching virtually. So that was like 2020 and 2021. So now I just feel like we are, and then 2022 was just a hot mess because of, you know, me and postpartum and all of that. So I feel like we're just now getting to the point of like, okay, let's really like refine this and perfect this, and like, you know, there are some concepts we don't have videos for, and there are some concepts that we only have digital resources for that like nobody is even using, needing, or wanting right now. And so, you know, having to make some adjustments there. So we're really in like this refining and like perfecting season, not necessarily like, hey, like this is your deliverables for the month.
Mm-hmm. I love
hearing that. Yeah. And mine, I love hearing this because I am constantly thinking like, how does my membership need to change? So my membership is also like PD driven. It's me teaching, but I like have a monthly topic each month. And so I'm just so curious, do people, I mean, what's the, like, how long is like your average lifetime member? Like, how long do they stay? Do you feel like they come in? And most people certainly don't come in, watch every video and leave because there's so much for them to use. They probably want the access for when they need it. Is that right?
Yeah. So we're actually playing with like this upcoming school year doing like a monthly theme, but this monthly theme is going to be around stuff that's already in the membership. So it's not like new things. It's like highlighting content that we already have. And okay. So as far as like, how long do people typically stay? This is such a hard, it's a really hard data point to pull out unless you use like theory or whatever, I think they say. So like our churn is typically around like 4%. So I think there's some way to do that. What is it like? One divide, like, or like 100 divided.
You're our resident mathematician, so you know right. better than
you
all
tell
of
us.
Yeah, there's some way to do it. I think it's like you divide by your churn rate. Maybe it's like one divided by your churn rate, and that's supposed to tell you the number of like months people stay. But that's like, that's like in theory.
It's hard because people are paying for the year, people are paying month by month. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many members do you have right now?
I think we're at like 18 or 1900.
That's amazing. That is
amazing. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
But you know, if that's kind of like where I was at, like honestly, probably this time last year, in the sense that like we brought in a ton of people right before I had Micah, and then I completely ghosted them because I struggled like so much. Now, granted, we still have teachers who are in there and they like are, you know, saying like it's completely changed them and all that because I have so much content. But like, I did not show up. Like, I was not sending emails. I was not like in the Facebook group. Like, I was like drowning. And so it's one of those things, like now I kind of feel like I'm in this season of business where we're like 20, maybe the last like 8 months, we're like undoing a lot of like the damage that happened, you know, after having Micah. And then now I feel like we're really at this like point that I think either like this summer or the next 12 months will really be like breakthrough years for us. Cause I'm finally in a place where I'm like, I don't have a newborn. It's not COVID. And you know, I have help. So
why don't you share with the listeners kind of what went down with Micah? Cause I know because I've known you through it, but I know like just as much context as you're willing to share, you don't have to tell everyone your life story, but you know, whatever you're comfortable sharing. Cause I think everyone, most people listen are moms. So
oh yeah,
they will relate.
No. I'm an open book. So I had a super easy postpartum after Jeremiah, my oldest, who is about to turn 6, like to the point that I was like in a grad class 10 days after he was born and loving it. And so I went in with this expectation with Micah. I was like, I've done this. It's going to be great. Not really factoring into the point that like everybody was probably struggling after a year of COVID. I had him in the summer of 2021. So like a year into COVID, whatever, you know, I don't know. And so had him, and when he was a week old, he got COVID. Like nobody in our house had ever had COVID. And I don't know where he picked it up. I guess the hospital. He got COVID. He basically like, I say he like died in my arms. I guess, I don't know what you want to call it, like passed out, whatever, like to the point, like not breathing. He was in the hospital for several days. I was in the hospital with him with COVID. And that was just very like traumatic. It's very hard to see like a 1 week old. Now, granted, so many people go through worse things. You know, just like when you're postpartum, you're already like mentally not all the way like the healthiest. And so I think a lot of that was like the trigger for a lot of postpartum anxiety for me.
100%.
And so he had a bunch of like stomach issues. And I think it may be, I'm not a doctor, but I think it may be because they like pumped him full of antibiotics for like 4 days straight because they basically said like his body's so young, you know, we have to protect him from everything so that he doesn't get anything. And I think that really messed up his gut. So he had serious stomach issues to the point where for the first 14 months, not only was I super anxious, he did not sleep at all. He screamed all day long. He was up like 11, 12, 13 times a night because he was in so much pain. He's a big boy. So like doctors would not listen. They were like, he's clearly fine. And yeah, so it was like 14 months of being sleep deprived, being extremely anxious, like trying to navigate having two kids and a business. And it was just so hard. I look back at that season and like, I'm so much better of a person now. Like, I'm so much healthier and stronger on the other side of it. But it was such a like dark time for me that I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't ever want to go through that again.
Dark is exactly what I would describe that as, like what you're saying. Just like, you know how much sleep can like change you when your kid does start sleeping through the night. You're like, I'm a different person. And so to hear you say like, I mean, that sounds like whole nights. He just wasn't sleeping. And I mean, it will make you go crazy on top of being anxious already and struggling with postpartum.
Was there anything at 14 months that changed? Like how, or like, how is he doing now? Or like, when did you figure out a solution or did he just kind of grow out of it or what?
So I actually, you know, he was on top of all of that. He was there. He had some like developmental delays, which of course he did. He was in pain and he wasn't sleeping. So like he was not going to be working on like talking. And so we actually had him evaluated from, what is it? I don't know if this is every state. It's called like the early childhood development. I think it's like a state thing and it's a program. They'll come in, they'll evaluate your kid. And if they qualify, they become like kind of like a caseworker with you and they help you like get connected with like whatever your child needs. And so they came in and he qualified because of social emotional, because they watched him and he screamed the entire time, like unconsolable. And they looked at me. I will never forget this. Like I started sobbing. They looked at me. They said, like, what is happening with him? Like is not normal. It is okay for you to like continue to fight doctors for help. And I broke down. It was like the first person who was like,
who saw you.
Yes, exactly. It was exactly that. And so they helped me get connected with a different GI specialist. And we went into the GI who was fantastic. The first one completely wrote us off. The second one was great. This is going to sound so ridiculous because when I tell you, that was the other thing, like because of his stomach issues, I was breastfeeding. So I was like dairy-free, soy-free, egg-free. So I couldn't eat anything. So the GI was like, let's do a x-ray of his stomach because they thought he had allergies because he was like pooping mucus. Sorry. Like that's probably gross.
We get it. We're good.
Literally. So he was pooping mucus. They did an x-ray of his stomach. He was constipated. So 14 months of seeing doctors, he was on all kinds of medicine, all of that. He was constipated. 2 days of Miralax, he was sleeping through the night, 13 hours.
Oh no.
I was like partly so excited and partly so angry because I was like, my child was in pain and uncomfortable and delayed because nobody said like, let's do an x-ray of his stomach.
And like, you know what makes me so angry to hear that is I always think like, you are such an involved mom. You have all the resources in the world. You fought for your kid and people just rejected you. I think about all those other moms who would have given up sooner because they would have felt like, oh, well, the doctor must be right. Or I don't have the resources to keep calling all these people or skipping work to take my baby to a doctor's appointment or whatever. And it's like, no, like you have to, I try to tell everyone, like you have to advocate for your child because literally these people will not. And it's, that's so frustrating. You knew all along and no one listened. And I'm like, so angry for you, but I'm so glad you got a solution.
Yes, that's exactly how I felt. But it made me so thankful for the people who did come along and were the encouragers of like, you know, your baby best, like keep fighting. You're not crazy. Like you know what's going on. You may not know what's going on, but you know, something's not right. And I'm like, if nothing else from this, like, I have a really good friend who's going through some just crazy, awful health things with her child. And like, I just feel like my one thing is just like you are the mom that that child needs. Like, you know, your baby's needs, like keep pushing, keep fighting.
Can he eat any of those foods now? Have you reintroduced any?
He eats everything.
Oh my gosh.
He didn't have an allergy. He was just constipated, but like, we don't have to get
it's
into
it. It's so annoying to me. This could be a blood boiler. We could have done this like, I feel like a lot of medical professionals have like blanket diagnoses. Like when we had our infertility, they were like multiple people told me I had endometriosis. I was like, I do not have endometriosis. I have no symptoms of endometriosis at all other than I'm not getting pregnant. But that's just like their thing. They're just like, oh, this is like an easy label. And I feel like that with kids, like, it's like, oh, they probably are just allergic to all this stuff. Like, mom, go kill yourself and don't eat anything. That your baby can be fine. And it's just like, no.
He eats all the things. Like dairy was a big thing. He eats like cheese, ice cream, all of that. Perfectly fine. Wow. He was on so much medicine too, because he had all of the like reflux symptoms and like, and it was just, he was severely constipated.
Bless. Wow. So yeah. While all of that was happening, did you have help with your business? What has your team looked like over the years and the hiring process? And what does your team look like now?
Yeah. So I had help during that time. One of my teammates now, she's currently our teacher success coordinator, but she was initially hired kind of as like an integrator. And
explain to people what that means who may not know.
It's kind of somebody who comes in and they kind of like are an online business manager to some extent. Like they like manage the business and the team and like all of that. So they say like, as a CEO, like you're the visionary and then the integrator is the person who like carries out the vision and does all the project plans and like all of that. And I hired her like a month before I got pregnant. And I also had a really hard pregnancy. And so she was like a lifesaver for sure. She like kept the business afloat. I think we had maybe like two other teammates. Like I know we had a graphic designer. We had a curriculum writer. And I think we had like a community manager at that point.
How much were you working during that year or 14 months?
I mean, not more than like, probably not more than like 15 or 20 hours a week. I mean, honestly, this is the first, like I would say this season that I'm in right now is the first time that I've had like dedicated work time because I've really built this business with a baby on my hip, like
Right. Doing
the nap time hustle,
same,
you know, working when Abe gets home from school, he's a principal. So when he gets home from school, it's like, okay, you take the kids, I start working. So yeah, I've never been the person who even has 40 hours to,
Right. You
know, work on the business. When I do, we are going to be amazing. But until that point.
I told Lauren, my parents keep all three kids one Wednesday a month for 8 hours, like 8:30 to 4:30. And it's like insane what I can accomplish.
Yeah.
Like and they're not in my house. Cause that's the other thing. Like my summer help starts tomorrow and I've got a girl coming like 2 days a week for 3 hours, but they'll still be in my house. Like I'll still be aware. And Yeah. It's that day, that one day a month. I'm like, man, I always tell my husband, Thomas, I'm like, what's it like leaving the house for just like 8 to 10 hours and like, you know, Yep. Running an errand.
Doing your work and not being interrupted. My husband's Right. Like, I mean, I like deal with crazy people at work. I'm like, I deal with crazy people at work too. They're knocking down my door during nap time. Like,
they're completely unreasonable.
They're unhinged. Can't get anything done.
They're making me wipe their cracks while I'm trying to record a video. They tell me they just pooped and they need some help.
Do your employees do that to you? I don't think so.
It's so hard though, because it's one of those things that I've actually had like a huge like come to Jesus meeting with myself about this. But it's one of those things, it's like I had to early on really fight like not having resentment towards the fact that like he got to shower by himself every morning and he got to ride in a silent car to work every day. But at the same time, like I technically have the choice to do that too. I could put my kids in daycare. I could go back to teaching and like, you know, so it's like I want what he has, but I also, it's like I want the best of both worlds. Like I also want to be like a stay-at-home mom and fully with the kids and all of that. But then I also don't want that because it's exhausting. So it's like, it took me a while to figure out what I do want.
You're speaking our language. Cause like, it's so true. I feel like there's can be so much guilt. Cause you're like, I like could do this better. I could do this better, but like, I don't want to choose between. So that's why we've chosen all three of us, this middle ground of like,
right.
I'm technically a full-time stay-at-home mom, I guess, but I'm also technically a full-time CEO, but I really only do the business 15 to 20 hours a week, but yeah.
And I don't know what will solve the problem. Like I'm like more hours in a day. So I'm more tired and then more annoyed that I don't get to work more, that my kids are bothering me or something. Like, I'm like, I don't know what would make it the perfect situation. I think I'm in the most ideal situation.
Right.
Same thing. Like Curtis, like, do you want to go back to work full time? Like, no.
So okay, we can have an entire discussion about this. Cause I literally had like the biggest like awakening or aha moment or whatever you want to call it about this exact thing.
It's just, I have to choose each day that like, this is the season and the role that I'm in. And I love it. I do love it. This is what I would choose. But yeah.
Yeah.
When I think I told you, Lauren, that I kind of had a big awakening recently, cause I kind of always thought like, okay, I'm just going to maintain this until my kids are all like kindergarten and up. And then I'm going to like go ham because I'm going to have so much time while they're at school. And I actually realized recently, like, I really think 20 hours a week is my sweet spot. And I don't think I'm going to want to work more than that. Like, I think when they go to school, that'll be more when I'll have more capacity for like self-care, like going, you know, going back to a gym and not just working out at home, you know, because I'll be able to like go without tiny humans or like things like that. But I really think, I think if I'm working more than 20 hours a week, it becomes a little bit too all encompassing for me because I get into it and it's hard to like prioritize them. So that's been my kind of sweet spot, but it is such a blessing. It's such a blessing to be able to do this, but it is, it's still a lot.
Yeah, for sure. It is. And I think especially in like the online business space, and I don't know, maybe other business spaces, it's like this, but the like level or the people that we're chasing after, like the vision of success is typically like being run by people who are working full-time, who are older and don't have young kids or don't have kids at all. And it's like, I have to adjust, like really get clear on what I want.
Yes.
And adjust like my expectations in a way that like matches my life and like my current season, you know? So I just, 100%. I go back to, I don't even really listen to Amy Porterfield much anymore, but I look at her and I'm like, okay, she doesn't have tiny humans at home. So the way that she shows up in her business is going to be different than me. And that's okay.
Yes.
And that she never did. Like she has an older stepson. Like she never was in that season of little bits of sleep or, you know, and everybody has their own struggles and stuff that they go through. But like her story is not the same as ours in growing an online business. So it's hard to, you have to remind yourself of that. But like, I'm in a different season. It looks, it'll look different for me right now. And it'll look different in 5 years from now. Yeah. Like that's kind of the fun part too, is that it always will be changing and we'll have to learn and grow and adjust.
Yeah. And that's not to negate her success in any way, but it's like, we can't let that be the model of like, if we're constantly holding ourselves to that standard, it's like, okay, but we're not playing with the same cards, you know?
Totally. Well, and I think too, I don't even want that level of success personally, which again, other people can have bigger dreams and bigger goals for their businesses. But like, I feel like from the mastermind you and I were both in, I learned so much, but I feel like a lot of the people in that love were like, the solution was to hire more and have a bigger team, and which totally makes sense. Like, I mean, that's just like basic math, like to, you know, exponentially grow your impact, have more people helping you. But I did that. I tried it and I learned I don't like managing people. So until I get to the point where I guess I would have someone who would be really running my team for me, then I don't really want a team. And I'm fine not having a business that can, like, I need to keep my business small enough where I can do it in a way that's fun for me, which is not managing people.
Okay. So have you ever heard the difference between like a lifestyle business and a growth business?
No, but I want to hear you tell me.
Okay. So this was so fascinating. I first heard this from Vanessa Lau. She's big like on YouTube. And then Jenna Kutcher, she posted something about this as well. So a lifestyle business is all about like building the business to like give you like the life that you want, to maximize the most profit so that you can like, you know, keep whatever the lifestyle is that you want. Whereas like a growth business is that you're constantly like reinvesting in the business, like to scale it. So it may mean that initially you have like lower profits, but you're reinvesting the business to scale it. And like getting really clear on which of those you want is like so freeing in how you show up. Because I think without that like clarification, so to me, it sounds like you want more of like a lifestyle business. Mm-hmm. Like I want to do this like 20 hours a week. I want to get the most profit so that we can, you know, I can be at home with my kids. We can have this lifestyle, like do whatever, versus like, I'm trying to scale it as big as possible. I'm constantly reinvesting these profits. Not to say that we're not all reinvesting some profits, like we pay for different things and all of that. But like having that clarity, yeah, your goal's not going to be to have like the biggest team possible if you're running like a lifestyle business. And there's nothing good or bad about either. Right. It's just what different people want.
It's so true. I've never thought about it that way.
Okay, Brittany, so would you consider Mix and Math a lifestyle or a growth business? How are you taking that, those models, and looking at your business now?
Yeah. So I think initially it was definitely, I saw it as like a lifestyle business. It was like, oh, so I can stay at home and, you know, so we can, you know, both of us work in public schools. I mean, obviously I do business now. And so it was like, you know, so we can eat out as much as we want and things like that. And now with where, when I got really clear on like my vision for the business and what I see it being in 10 years, I'm really at this point treating it like a growth business. So, you know, setting up our team in a way that we can scale it, you know, putting systems in place so that we can have like a built out sales team to work with schools. So with that, I've had to make some adjustments with like our family and our plans for, you know, for them for this upcoming year, because I can't, you know, when it was a lifestyle business, I could just like not work for 2 weeks and just hang out with Jeremiah. And that was totally fine. And now that I've got this team, like I need to show up for them consistently. And so I can't just go 2 weeks. I mean, obviously I could if I were like going on vacation, but it's, I do need to show up daily and I'm okay with that. And it's what I want and it's in line with my vision. But I realized that like, I wasn't clear on that vision and it was just causing a lot of friction between, you know, the expectations that I was putting on myself as a mom and the expectations that I was putting myself on the business. And they were just not realistic to be, you know, doing both.
Where do you see the business in 10 years? Like, what is your vision for Mix and Math in the future?
So, okay. What's so funny is I've not really like shared this publicly because for some reason, it's like when you share those things, like you, I think have people like, you don't want to, I don't want any of the negative feedback. I don't want somebody to look at me and say like, you can't do that, you know? So I've not really shared it, but I think like I see, I don't know if like Mix and Math, I think will own the different, you know, products and all of that, but some branch of Mix and Math I see being like the next NCTM. So NCTM is like the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics. And, you know, I love them, but they're kind of like old and outdated. And I don't think they're reaching like, you know, the younger teachers and all of that. And so I really see us being like a household, not household, but like, you know what I mean? Like every school name for professional development. So teachers, you know, will come to our site and we'll have other teachers and professionals contributing to our site. So I think that's where I see it in 10 years. I see us predominantly working with like schools, state partnerships, universities, and not necessarily being like direct to teacher selling. And so with that though, to get to that point, you know, I have to show up differently.
Totally. I even think like on such a smaller scale, I've started having so many more licensing opportunities with districts and schools. A lot of after connecting with Noelle Pickering, Maneuvering the Middle,
who was in
our mastermind, because she does a lot of that. And she really encouraged me like that, you know, about that. And that's when I actually, one of the reasons why I started my for fun Instagram account, The Momfluencer, is because I was like, I'm going to stop posting life things on It's Not Rocket Science because districts are now coming to this place of my corner of the internet. And not that I'm like hiding myself, but like, it's going to stay very business over here. And like, I'm only on stories talking about the business or like what I'm writing. I'm not talking about, you know, Zep and a product I use that I really like. Like, and so that's one of the reasons why I started it, because like you said, you kind of show up differently when it's for, you know, that kind of audience as opposed to direct to teachers.
For sure. Yeah. That was kind of my thinking when I started like the Brittany Heggie account, but then I realized I'm like, I have too many things to manage. Like, I don't even know how you have, you know, both Instagram accounts, but I think kind of the shift I'm making moving forward is having individual Instagram accounts, like for our product, like one for the membership and one for our live event. And so the Brittany Heggie one kind of being like, you know, have you ever heard of Pink Lily?
Yeah.
The like clothing company. So the owner, I forget her name, but she has like her own like personal brand and obviously she promotes her products. So Pink Lily has its own Instagram account. And I think moving forward, that's kind of how I'm treating like my Mix and Math one is going to be like me as like the personal brand. But then I have the Mix and Math 360, which is like our membership. And that is going to be sharing like teacher testimonials and like different resources and like things like that. Like that's my vision for it. We haven't started this yet. So we'll see how it goes. But I also think that will be helpful for me, like bringing in a social media manager, because my struggle at this point has been like bringing in somebody who can post on Mix and Math and sound like me. Mm. And like, that has just, that's just been really hard, but I'm like, I could totally trust somebody to, they don't need to sound like me, like Mix and Math. It's like, that's its product, you know, like you don't care who's posting behind the Pink Lily, you know, Instagram page.
Right.
Totally.
Or really any of the brands like that we follow, like any swimsuit company or ed tech company, like we have no idea who's posting, but that's where I would hope schools and districts would go to is that.
It's all so interesting. I like love hearing all of this.
I do too. Because
like
again,
even being in the same like edupreneur space, like it's so different. Like all three of us are doing such different things.
But it's inspiring because it's so cool totally. To see how you've done it so differently and how you're finding so much success. So how are you putting out like weekly content for free to your audience? Like, do you still, I know you got into YouTube. I know like you have an email list, but like kind of what are you doing for weekly content? And are you the one providing it or do you have someone on your team who's doing that?
Okay, so this is interesting. This is an area that I really struggle. I have never put out weekly content consistently, ever. And I know that it's like, I've talked about Amy Porterfield more in this last hour than I think I have in the last like year. But I think it started with her. It was like, you need to have weekly content. And I was just on a mastermind call a couple weeks ago. And I was like, oh, like we have a launch coming up. I really need to like nurture my people, all of that. Like, I can't get myself together to do this weekly content. Like we're doing all this other stuff. And they were like, why do you need to have weekly content? Like who said that's the only way to run a business? Stu McLaren, who's like the membership guy, he doesn't do weekly content. Like he never has. And so I just removed that pressure from myself. I'm like, I've never been consistent and the business has made it this far. Like I think maybe the most that I've ever put out weekly in a row is maybe four. That may be like 4 weeks. That may be like
what? That's wild.
Blogs, videos, or emails?
I think
what?
At one point, maybe I did 3 blog posts in a row. And then maybe I think did like 4 YouTube videos in a row. Like I don't do anything weekly. Which
I feel like long form content is my life. Like it's like what I'm always doing. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And we have so much content now. Lauren and I have talked about like we have so much. Because we have both been doing weekly content for 2 years now, maybe 3. Mm-hmm. Like that's so much content we have out there. That's why both of us switched to podcasts. We're like, we can't write another blog post. We got to do something different. But that's amazing. That's so encouraging to me to hear you say that. Like, I don't know why sometimes I'm like, oh, but this is what we got to do. I got to send an email every single week.
And to find success doing something different. This is what Kaylin from Sweetwater Floral said. She was like, I think I found success because I looked at what other people were doing and I just went the other way. And I was like, I'm just going to try something different and see what happens.
That's I'm like, can I just delete my other Instagram account? Sorry, that's your job. Lauren does my social media, by the way. You're like, how do you do both? Lauren does It's Not Rocket Science Insta. That's the only reason why I haven't deleted it because you do it all.
But and I sound like her. So that's why like she can get on stories and I can like write stuff and it sounds the same. Or I can be like, you literally haven't been on your stories. I've been meaning to tell you every time you get on your stories, you're like, I haven't been here in a while. I'm like, people don't notice or don't care. Just I know. Talk.
Well, Instagram notices because they're like, we're going to show this to 14 people because you haven't been here. And I'm like, thanks, Instagram. Really encouraging me to come back because
I'm paying $15 a month to be verified.
I know. So. In case someone hacks my account, which it's like at this point, it's like, just take it. It's not rocket science.
But so... There's like, I feel like the online business space is like an echo chamber. It's like everybody is saying like, this is what you need to do. This is the right way. And there are so many people who are doing it differently. There is this girl, I think her name is like Miss Excel or something. Look her up on TikTok. She has like hundreds of thousands, maybe even a million followers. She's on Instagram. She is massive and has a very successful business. And literally she just makes videos about how to use like Excel spreadsheets. And like, you know,
don't tell my husband this. He said, I think he can go viral making Excel charts. He loves
Excel. He probably could find Miss Excel, but it's just one of those things that I'm like, Alex Hormozi, who is like one of my favorite people to listen to right now. He talks so much about like questioning your beliefs, like around like what you think you should do. Mm. And that has like really served me a lot lately. It's like, how many things am I doing just because I feel like I should be doing this to be a good business owner? And the weekly content is just something I'm like, I'm just not going to do it. There's a copywriter who used to be really popular. She's never has done weekly content. She just has a really good email list and she literally pitches people her email list. She's like, come be a part of my email community. Like you'll get all this great content, like basically doing exactly what people tell you to do. Like nobody wants to join a newsletter. Like don't pitch that. That's exactly what she does. People love her email list. They stay, they buy her products.
That's awesome.
Like, you know, so.
Are you over on TikTok? It sounds like.
Oh no. I mean, sometimes I'll take like my Instagram reels and put them over on TikTok, but no, I don't even, I don't get TikTok. I feel so old.
I know. Girl. Same.
We could do a whole segment on that. I don't have it because I'm like, I can't have another way that I'm like connected to people or like absorbing information. So that's why I'm like, and I really am not even on Facebook unless it's Like the only reason I have a Facebook page even is for Facebook ads when I want to do this. Yeah. I always die because every once in a while, Lauren would be like, hey, there's been like a lot of comments on these Facebook posts. You want to go in and like answer any of them? And I'm like, nah, they'll, if they really want to know, they'll find my email.
She has like an automated thing set up on her Facebook messages. It's like, send me an email.
Well, and then when people DM me on Instagram, if it's anything that's like not just like personal, I'm like, email me. And by email me, I mean, email Allison, my customer service specialist, right. Because I want her to deal with it because she's so much better at it than me.
Yeah. With Instagram, I'm trying to do better. I mean, if you look at my Instagram, I think I've posted like 200 posts in the whatever 4 or 5 years that I've had Instagram. So I'm not super active. Like I post way more in my stories, but I go months without posting things.
You have so many followers. Like,
yeah. Was there a tipping point? Yeah. Where did that come from?
So my approach to social media is like quality over quantity. That has always been, not granted, I know that you should have quality and quantity, but like, I feel like I have a really good idea of what does well. And so with that, it has created some mindset blocks of like, oh, I'm not going to post a reel unless I know for a fact it's going to get at least 10,000 views, which is so stupid. That's like, what does that even mean? But I have a really good idea of like what I will perform well. And so I can post like 2 or 3 things a month and they do well and it brings in followers. I will say the algorithm has changed. Like, I feel like I definitely took like a solid 3 or 4 months off. And since coming back, I feel like Instagram now shows your posts more to your followers than non-followers, which makes it harder to grow. But yeah, I would say it's really just from like every once in a while having a really good post that is very shareable. But I will say my account's been pretty stagnant. Like, I get really good engagement from the people who are there, but I'm not seeing like massive growth like in the last, you know, I would say a couple of years, like really since Micah's been born.
Okay. I know this is getting long, but I don't care. You are truly like the definition of a CEO and like a visionary to me. Like, you have so much vision for your business and I really love watching it.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I don't necessarily feel that way, but I really think it's because of like the circles that I have like been in or the people I've surrounded myself by. I heard this saying years ago and it's totally like how I've lived life. It's like, we reach for the highest branch that we can see. And so like, if you see like, you know, whatever, let's talk like revenue, for example, like if you see like $100,000 is like the highest branch that you can see, like that's the highest level that you're going to reach. And then when you put yourself in circles where like people are making $1 million, it's like, oh my gosh, like now you start reaching for higher things. And that's revenue is the easiest thing to use as an example for that, but it's so many other things too. And so like, for me, I feel like it's just constantly leveling up like the spaces that I'm in. I'm always like the least experienced, the least knowledgeable, like whatever in any space that I'm in. And I think that's benefited me, but yeah, I don't feel like I'm this amazing CEO or visionary because the people that are like around me, the people I'm learning from are like worlds ahead of me.
Well, and I was going to say too, you've done a lot of great masterminds. Like, you've been under a lot of people that like I really respect from a business perspective. And I feel like has been really cool. What do you feel like? So do you feel like that'd be the most valuable thing you've gained is just like people being so far ahead of you to like push you? Or like, what has been the best part about being in some of those coaching experiences you've done? And is there anyone you'd like, any dream people you'd want to be under or in a mastermind with?
Yeah. So I would say like, either like putting myself in spaces with like individual people who are just like so inspirational, so far ahead of me, like that has been really powerful. I will always invest in learning. So like masterminds, coaching programs, like one-on-ones, anything like that. Right now one of my best friends is Caitlin Mitchell from EB Academics. She is just a rock star, like so incredibly knowledgeable. I would say like, she is the person to go to if you're really wanting to like run a growth business, at least in like the education space. But if I had like my choice of whose mastermind I would be in, and it would never happen because they've said that they would never do a mastermind, is Alex and Layla Hormozi. When I tell you, like, I binge listen to their podcasts, their book or his books, like everything.
Tell me, are those the like 9 to 5? What is their thing, their podcast or their book, or who are they?
He is brilliant. One of the most brilliant people I've ever listened to. So his book is $100 Million Offers. And
cool. Never heard of him.
His podcast is The Game. And Layla's podcast, I think, is called like Build. They are literally, and they're so young. Like, I think she's 31 or 32 and he's like 34, and they sold their business for like $100 million or $50 million or something like that. Like, they're just so smart. Their message is so consistent. Like, they're not these like flashy, shiny objects. Like, so much of it, I feel like, is just like business mindset and like, stop doing what everybody's telling you to do. Like, question your beliefs, make your own decisions. Like, I feel like they have transformed like who I am as a business owner. And I've never even talked to them.
But if they offered something, you'd be the first one in line.
When I tell you, I would give up an entire year's profit to be in a mastermind with them, hands down, because I know that it would impact me for years to come. I think it would completely change the trajectory of like who I am as a business owner, whether it's Mix and Math or some other business in 20 years, you know, like, so I'm 30 and I feel like I heard the average age of like a CEO or something like that, like a really successful CEO is like 47 or something like that. It's, or who started the business or something. It's like in the 40s. I'm like, wait, so like, who could I be in 17 years? You know,
that's what we have said too. I'm like, you know, people who are leading these things who have older kids and stuff, like they're just in totally like farther down the road seasons. Like, Rebecca, you've said that before. Like, imagine where we'll be in 15 years. Like, if we're still running these businesses, I sure as heck hope I've grown a lot in 15 years. Like, let's go.
Think about who you were 5 years ago.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. 5 years ago, I still didn't have anyone who worked for me.
Yeah.
One woman show.
Exactly.
Crying every time I got an email. And then Allison came along and saved my life.
Yeah. So it's like that to me, it's like, what is possible? And I don't know. I don't know if Mix and Math is going to be the thing that I'm doing like when I'm 50 something. Like, who knows? Somebody else may be running it. I may have sold it. I may still be running it. I like truly have no idea, but I'm like, what I learn now is going to allow me to be successful in whatever I do. I think Amy Porterfield, again, another Amy Porterfield reference. She said something. It's like, once you learn how to make a dollar online, like you'll always be able to make a dollar online, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to learn and grow from people around me, podcast books as much as I can now, because I'll use it.
Yeah, you will. Okay. So for launches, are you running your launches or do you have like a launch strategist? Do you like live launching? Do you have plans to, is your membership on Evergreen or how do you do that?
It changes every year. Okay. So we definitely were like the closed model. Evergreen was like really being pushed last year. I was in a mastermind where the leader was like really pushing Evergreen. So we did that for a year. We didn't really have an Evergreen strategy. Like, again, this was like while I was going through all my stuff postpartum with Micah. So I never got it together enough to have like an Evergreen webinar that was like funneling people in. It was very much like, I would post something on Instagram and because we were always open, like I would get new members that way. And I wasn't going to launch last summer because I was like, oh, like the summer's the best time to be with the kids and I want my team to have flexibility and all of that. So we did like a really lazy launch last summer. And again, like, I think I just had this clarity of like, do I want to be a lifestyle business or do I want to be a growth business? And I think if I wanted to stay like a lifestyle business, I think like Evergreen is a really good option because summer is a great time to, you know, do all of the things. And, you know, this year I'm definitely treating it more like a growth business. We are doing a big launch this summer. We're doing all of the things. It is an all hands on deck type approach. And I'm also giving myself the freedom to say like after this year, treating it like a growth business, if this isn't what I want, we could totally go back to like, we need to scale it back. Like, this isn't really working for me. So, I think I've stressed about launches in the past, but I'm just approaching it with like, I do love the energy and the momentum and like the feeling of connection with teachers and all of that. I was an athlete. So I kind of felt like, I remember, you know, those webinars kind of felt like I was back in like my competition days. Like it just like, I was listening to like my hype music and all of that. And so I missed that last summer. So I'm excited to do that again this summer. And we're, you know, already preparing for it. Like our goal is to have everything done by June 30th. So we are live launching and I don't know. I'm not attached to anything. I don't know that if what we're doing this year will be the same thing we're doing 10 years from now. It probably won't be.
I love the energy of a live launch too. It's so much work though. You're like it absolutely is. Mush exhausted by the end it's fun.
Love hate it because I'm like on crack the whole time. Like, and then right. I like get into my bed and I can't sleep for 14 days because I'm just like jazzed
from you're downloading some live video from Demio that doesn't
for 18 come out hours. For 2 hours. It takes 4 hours to process. Then you got to upload it in Kajabi. You're like,
and then you promised everyone it'll be in their inbox at 7 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I would love to know, what are some of the changes you have made in your family in order for you to approach the business as a growth business? Or like, what are some different boundaries you have, maybe roles that your husband has taken on differently? Or is your childcare different now? Like, how are you doing that differently?
Yeah, so I would say before Micah, I was, you know, Jeremiah was home with me. If he went to preschool, it was like a 3 hour a day church preschool, you know, so really you only have 2 hours by the time you do drop off, pick up, like 100%. All of that. So that's what I did. And then we ended up getting a nanny and she was coming like a few hours a day for a while. And I really just like, it was so good for me. I felt like I was getting little pieces of myself back. I was going to the gym, all of that. So we started increasing her hours. So she comes like 8 to 2. For the most part every day, which that's a solid 6 hours. And so she's been coming to do that and it's been great. Sometimes it's hard because like, you know, it's not like an official like nanny setup. Like we call her a nanny, but she's like a babysitter. You know what I mean? As far as like, it's not like the official, like we've gone through a service or whatever. So there are times where it's like, she's out this entire upcoming week because she's on vacation and things like that. And so we did make the decision and I'm still battling some mom guilt about it, but we made the decision that we are going to send Micah to Jeremiah's school next year. So I was going to like pick him up at lunchtime and he could come home and have lunch with me and nap and all of that. But the school's 30 minutes away. We already take Jeremiah there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just made this decision that he's going to go there next year. I still am really struggling with it. I still have a weird attachment with him for everything that we went through. But yeah, he'll be gone 7:45 to 2:45. And so that's what, 7 hours? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Which actually is really only an hour more than, you know, but
yeah,
when
but
he's at the house,
different, totally.
It does. When he's at the house, I can like go out there for lunch and like, I can see him in passing, but you know, that I'm still struggling with the decision, but it is a decision we've made. And I think it's going to allow me to do the things that I want to do in business. And then at 2:45, I go pick them up. I cut it off. And I'm like, I have 5 hours with them at night. Mm. I have the weekends. So we'll see. That's how I'm approaching it this year. And I've also told myself if 5 months into it, I hate it. And this is not what I want. Like I pull him or I go pick him up at noon, yep. You know? So yeah, that's like the biggest adjustment we're making. And I thought I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and but for me, there's some part of being home and not having a break from the kids that feels a little bit suffocating to me. Mm-hmm. And I think I felt so much guilt around that. But then I look at some of my mom friends who are great moms and they go to work every day and their kids are in daycare every day. And I'm like, why am I telling myself that I'm a bad mom for sending my kid, you know, to a school that I know he's loved and cared for and his brother's there. So we'll see. Talk to me in 6 months or actually not 6 months. What, 3 months? When is August? Talk to me in 3 months. See how I'm doing. But that's just an adjustment we're making. And I'm choosing not to feel guilt around it. I'm choosing to say like, this is what's going to be really great for him because he's going to be around other kids. And this is what's going to be really great for me because I'll be a happier mom. I will be able to not be attached to my phone after 2:45.
Yeah, that sounds like you'll have a good balance. Like you will not work those other times because you'll be getting so much done during your actual work hours.
Yeah. So, and I won't spend all those work hours working. Like I'm still going to go to the gym for an hour. Like that is like a non-negotiable for me in this season of life. And, you know, maybe I'll meal prep dinners, which is not something I do at this point. So I don't know. It's not like I'm doing that to like completely work the entire time and like burn myself out. But yeah, I don't know. Well, see, even talking about it, I think y'all are the first people I've told.
I think I like just so appreciate your, I guess you'd call it your growth mindset to use our educational terms, but just how like adaptable you're being and how like gracious you're being with yourself and your business to be like, we're just going to try it and see what happens. Like I have such a hard time with that because I'm so like planned and like
this. You want to have your next forever. 5 years planned out. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just like, it's so refreshing for me to hear your perspective. I'm like, oh yeah, I could think that way too.
The like most freeing thing I ever heard somebody say, I don't remember who said it, but they were like, nothing is permanent. No decision in business is permanent. Obviously like death, although, you know, you could argue that as well, but like for the most part, like nothing is permanent. And so like putting a kid in a specific school, not permanent, like, you know, starting a podcast, not permanent. You can change your mind. And so that has been like, I'm very much a perfectionist. And so reminding myself that nothing is permanent has allowed me to at least like try things without the pressure of like, I have to do this for the rest of my life.
Well, and I love that for you. That's one of the reasons why I don't have a membership, is because it does feel like so permanent, because people are paying monthly. And so it's like, you got to promise what you're going to promise. You got to deliver. And I don't like that pressure. But mm-hmm. I love you saying that, especially for Lauren, who does have one, because I know that's something, Lauren, you've struggled with, of like, you've made some big changes and it's scary. But then also it's like, okay, well, the people who don't want them will leave. And it like,
exactly. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not a permanent decision. And what you offer now will probably not be the same thing you offer in a year.
There we go.
True. All right, Lauren, what else? Do you have anything else you want to ask?
I don't think.
Man, that was like,
we covered so much.
I know.
I don't even know if this is like helpful or what y'all wanted or whatever.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I literally told Lauren, because it was like coming off when I saw you put your, you like scheduled it and it was coming in the holiday weekend. I was like, oh gosh, Lauren, I was like Monday night at the end of long weekend. And then we were like, we're not worried because Brittany's going to be so easy. And we know we're going to have 1,000 questions for her. So it was easy.
Aww. Well, thank you for like my last minute scheduling. It was like sitting in my inbox and I was like, I just need to go ahead and schedule it. And
well, and I know too now, I'm like, now that I have someone who does my email, I'm always like, I always want to eat when I send an email, be like, hey, Brittany, or whoever reads your email, like just wanted to ask, you know, whatever. But I'm just super glad this worked out. I'm like so encouraged to hear from you. And I hope our listeners enjoy too, hearing your story.
Thanks for being on the podcast, Brittany.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It was so fun to chat with y'all.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.